Good morning. It's great to be with you again. Just a bit of an update on our situation. I've got a job. I think the last time I was with you was something like the 9th of, where are we now? May. Well, I was with you the 9th of May, and then about 10 days after that, I had an interview. It's with the Citizens Advice Bureau, with their witness services. People who go to court are called to be a witness in court. Under law, they've got various help that's available to them that's staffed by volunteers. So I'll be the manager for the volunteers in the witness service. So it's a paid job. I'm managing the volunteers, and it covers all of the South Wales area. It's a new post and everything. I'll be based right next to the Magistrate Court in Cardiff, which is something probably a lot of you might be very familiar with or something. But there we go. Stuart, I know, definitely is. But there we are. So, yeah, good job. I'm starting a week tomorrow. And then the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm off on a training course in Carmarthen for 3 days as well. So it sounds really interesting job. Very people orientated, and they want to reach out to different communities and different ethnic groups and everything as well. So, you know, something I'm really looking forward to. So can I just encourage you and say thank you to those of you who've been praying for us. You know, over the past 2 months, really, while I've been unemployed, God's blessed us and helped us in so many ways, so many practical ways, and it's great just to know we're part of the family of God, and there's people encouraging us and helping us. You know, God has been so good. Last time I was unemployed, it was over 2 years I was unemployed. 3 years on, quite a few more grey hairs, the other side of 50, and in the natural, I was feeling quite despondent at times, but God just kept on piling on the encouragement. And it was a day before I'd been unemployed a month, you know, a month but a day, when I found out I'd got this job. So, you know, praise God. Be encouraged. God answers prayer. God breaks through. God intervenes. And God is really interested in every intricate detail of our lives. We're going to look at today the worm who toppled a mountain. That's the title of the sermon, The Worm Who Toppled a Mountain. And that's hopefully will become a bit more clear as we go on. But I just want to set the context for the sermon. Moses had brought the Israelites up to the edge of the promised land. Moses had died. And then Joshua had taken Israel into the promised land. They'd driven out the enemy. And then Joshua had died. And we read at the beginning of the book of Judges, in those days, Israel had no king and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There was no leader, no ruler, no king over them. And Israel very quickly started going away from God. And the enemies started to overrun them again. And God's people cried out to God and said, God, we're sorry, forgive us, we're turning back to you. And God sent some leaders called judges, people like Samson, people like Jephthah, who was the son of a prostitute, and various other people to come and rescue Israel from their problems. God rescued them, they'd know a time of peace, and then they'd turn away from God again. And then they'd cry out to God and God would rescue them. And that cycle is repeated several times in the book of Judges. And one time in the book of Judges, we read about an enemy called Midian. And they came against Israel and ruled them for 7 years. They overran the land. They raided all their crops. So basically, as far as Israel was concerned, the people were living in a time of famine. There was food, but the Midianites were stealing it all. There was a harvest, but the Midianites were stealing it. There were cattle, but the Midianites were stealing them. There were sheep, but the Midianites were stealing them. And Israel had been like this for 7 years. They were oppressed, they were being ruled by their enemy, and they were in a very desperate situation. And they cried out to God, and God heard them, And Reuben is going to come and tell us what happened next. He's going to read from Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 24. If we can have the next slide up. And Reuben's going to come and read and tell us all about what happened.
Which verse was that? Verse 11 to 24. Then the angel of the Lord... Oh, wait. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan Abiezer. Gideon, the son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles that our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say, 'The Lord brought us up out of Egypt,' but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?" Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." But Lord, Gideon replied, "How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I'll be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Gideon replied, "If you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring an offering to you." He answered, "I'll stay here until you return." Gideon hurried home and cooked a young goat and a basket of flour he baked. And with a basket of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then, carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he put them out and presented them to the angel who was under the great tree. The angel of God said to him, "Place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it." Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the tip of the staff in his hand, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all that he had brought. The angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I am doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face."
That's great. Thanks very much. I love that story. Just imagine you have someone come round for dinner. You know, and you can't just go to the butcher's, so you have to go and kill the goat, make the soup. So it's a good few hours process. And you're eating outside because it's a nice sunny day. And the guest you've got tells you to put the food over there on the rock. And he's standing there with a staff in his hand, and he just gets his staff, points at it, and you know, the whole lot just goes up in flames, and you turn around and look at the guest and he's disappeared, and you think, wow, you know, what kind of a Sunday lunch would that be? Let's have a look at the next slide, please. Gideon was in hiding. What was Gideon doing when the angel appeared to him? Can anyone tell me? What was Gideon doing when the angel appeared to him? He was hiding and he was threshing wheat. Does anybody know what threshing wheat is? Go on, tell us about it. You got some with you, can demonstrate, or no? Yeah, separating the wheat from the chaff. So basically, they would have this threshing floor, so wide open, and they would get the wheat, you know, the big stalks of wheat, and beat it, and the wind would come and blow like the chaff, the husks, the outside part of the wheat away, and that would just be caught up in the breeze and be blown away. And you'd have just all the rest of the wheat, which you could grind into flour, and the flour could make the bread. And, you know, that reminds me of a little children's Ladybird fairy tale about, what was that one? Growing the bread to make the wheat or something. Anyhow, there we go. Yeah, the little red hen, that was the one. So, you'd normally do it in a wide open space so you could thresh the wheat even, and the wind would blow the chaff away. Where was Gideon doing it? Yeah, he hadn't got any wind that day, which was probably just a good job because there were other people around, but there we go. Where was he threshing it? in a wine press. I don't know if you can see, but there's a wine press there. It's a pit made of rocks, and they'd put the grapes in, and they would take their shoes and socks off, and what would they do? Stamp on them, press them down, get all the juice out, and the juice would run out. That is not the plan. Because the wind wouldn't blow the chaff away. And besides, Gideon only got a little bit of wheat to thresh anyhow, because the Midianites had stolen most of it. That was not the place to do your job. It's like going to the Sahara Desert to do some ice carving, you know, or bacon sandwiches in Saudi Arabia or something like that. You know, it's not a good place to do the job. He was scared. He was fearful. And then an angel appeared to him. And the angel said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty and brave warrior." And there's Gideon. You know, say this was like the wine press. All you'd have seen of Gideon that day was the top of his head and his hand going up, and he's threshing the wheat. And he's in hiding. He's scared. He's fearful. And the angel comes to him and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty and brave warrior." Huh? And Gideon looks around. "Have you got the right person? Me? Mighty? Brave? Warrior?" Look. And he goes on to say in verse 15, "Yeah, my clan, my family, it's the smallest family around here. We're weak. We're insignificant. We haven't got much in the way of resources. We're just a very uninfluential, run-of-the-mill, humdrum family. And yet, you're calling me a mighty and brave warrior?" Gideon was weak. He was ineffective. He was fearful. It wasn't the case that God looked down from heaven and saw a guy with a lot of potential. And yeah, he's got a lot of potential. He's a brave man. If we just give him a word of encouragement, he'll get up off his backside and go and do something for me. The fact was, he was weak, he was ineffective, his family didn't have many resources, his family wasn't influential, his family was one of the smallest of the tribes. This guy really hadn't got much going for him, and he proved it by just hiding in a wine press, trying to get some wheat to make some bread for his meal that day. But the important thing is, when God comes to any of us and calls us and tells us he's got something to do for us, God doesn't call us according to what we've done in the past or what we might do in the future or what we are in the here and now. When God calls us and he gives us a new identity. Gideon, up to that moment, he'd never been in battle that we read of. He'd never done anything brave that we read of. He'd never been a warrior. He'd never proved his might, and yet when God calls to him, he comes to him and he says, "The Lord is with you, mighty and brave warrior." So God, when he called him, he gave him a new identity, and from that day onwards, Gideon was to start acting according to the identity God had given him. And it's the same with each one of us here today. When God calls us, he makes Christians, and he gives us a brand new identity. He makes us new people, new creations. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." So God gives you a brand new identity. So the moment you become a Christian, God wants you to start living in line with the identity of who you are, what he's made you, and what he's done for you. You might be a fearful person. You might be a timid person. That's me by nature. But when God comes, he comes and makes us brand new people. You might be the type of person who hides away. You're like the Gideon. You're sort of, you know, you're a bit fearful. You're trying to hide from life. You feel a bit fearful about what's coming up in the future. But God says to you today, the Lord is with you. You're a mighty, you're a brave warrior, you're a new creation, you're a brand new person, you've got the Holy Spirit, God's power living within you, the power of sin has been broken over your life, so the old habits, the old way of life, the old way you used to do things, that isn't to define you anymore. The thing that's to define you, to give you your identity, is what God calls you, is who God has made you. Because in and of yourself, you might be like Gideon thinking, I'm weak, I'm ineffective, I'm a nobody. You know, exam results coming in a couple of months' time, and I'm not expecting them to be very good. You know, I haven't got this going for me. I haven't got that going for me. My family, haven't got much money in the bank. Haven't got much in the way of natural resources. All this, all that. And you're just saying about me. I can't do anything. I'll never amount to anything. God cares about that. God's interested in that. But as far as coming to serve God and being the person God wants you to be, that's totally irrelevant. Because God calls you and God has given you a new identity. And when Gideon was there in the wine press hiding like that, he didn't sort of just feel a sudden surge of power and his biceps started rippling and, yeah, come on, let's go for it. He didn't feel any different. All he'd got at that time was God's word saying, the Lord is with you. Mighty and brave warrior. Let's have a look at the next slide, please. Oh, the next one. It's Isaiah chapter 41, verses 14 to 16, where God is speaking to his people Israel. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, the wind will pick them up and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. God steps into his nation of Israel. And at first look, when God speaks to his people, you think, well, that's nice. God says, calls his people worm, little Israel. Because by nature, that's what we are. Worms. Helpless. Hopeless. Not got the wherewithal or the ability to live the kind of life God has called us to live. So, draw a line in the sand today and make the decision you are unworthy. You are hopeless, you are helpless, you haven't got anything going for you. We'd all agree with that. God would agree with that. So, you know, just get it decided today. But then listen to what else God has got to say for you. Because God comes to worms. God comes to little Israel. God comes to weak, insecure, fearful people like Gideon, people who were in hiding, and he says to them, I myself will help you. I will make you into something. And that's the thing that's to make all the difference in our lives. That's the thing that's to define us. That's the thing that's to shape us and to give us our new identity. When God steps into our weak and ineffective and resourceless lives and says, I myself will help you. I will make you into something. And what does God say he'll make us into? God says he'll make us into a threshing sledge. Now, a threshing sledge was something they would use in Bible times for heavy duty threshing of wheat. It would be like a wooden platform with like all stony knobs and ridges on the bottom of it, and it would just go up and down, grinding the wheat, separating the wheat from the chaff. And God will said, I'm going to turn you into that. So no longer will you be hiding in your little threshing pit with your little stick of wheat, hiding away in your wine press. But God says, I'm going to turn you into a threshing sledge so that you won't just thresh wheat, but you'll thresh mountains, the obstacles, the hindrances, the things that are standing in your way, stopping you from living the life God wants you to live. God says, you're going to grind them to dust. You're going to grind them down to chaff. And the gale, the breeze of my Holy Spirit is just going to blow them away. So those mountains, those obstacles, those hindrances that's stopping you as individuals and stopping you as a church from moving forward in the plan of God, in the purposes of God for you, God says, I myself will help you. I will make you into something, and you'll no longer be hiding away feeling weak, insecure, and insignificant. But I'll make you into something, and the mountains and the obstacles that are standing before you, you're going to grind them to dust. You're going to turn them into chaff, and they're just going to be blown away, and you won't even see them, and you won't even consider them again. That's why it's called the worm who toppled a mountain, because God takes hold of people like me, worms like me, worms like you, no hopers like us, and he changes us into people. God, who created all this universe, wants to step into your life on a Monday morning. He wants to come to college with you. He wants to come into your home life. He wants to come into your unemployment. He wants to come into where you're struggling against habits and insecurities and temptations and peer pressure. And God himself says to you this morning, I myself will help you. It doesn't get any better than that. You know, if strapping Joshua here, who's nearly as tall as me, and it's getting quite scary, say he was like wanting to lift one of these this morning, but you know, you can sort of hear things popping and he's about to give himself a hernia or something. But then, David, this fine specimen of a male figure here, he says, come on, Josh, I'll help you put it in the trailer. And Josh would feel, oh, I've got David on my side today. Hey, we're going to shift this baby. They'd do it, and it would be encouraging. But if God Almighty steps on the scene and looks at our lives and says to us this morning, I myself will help you. That should make all the difference in our lives. God says, I will make you into something. When God steps into the situation, it doesn't matter what the situation is, because he's got the ability to transform it and to change it, and to take hold of weak, insignificant Gideons, and to change them into something for his glory. Let's look at the next slide, please. Verse 14, God said to Gideon, go in this might of yours. Go in this might of yours. For months, literally for several months, I've struggled with that passage. Just those 6 words there. I've struggled with them. Because when I read the passage some months ago, I came to that and I thought, what does God mean here? So, you know, I sort of put a peg in the ground and camped out there for a good few months, just pondering it. You know, I was reading other stuff and thinking of other. What do you mean here, God? What do you mean? You're saying to a guy who's hiding, who's scared, who's fearful, go in this might of yours. And I read other translations. They weren't really helpful. You go in the strength that you've got. Well, Gideon hadn't got any strength. Gideon was weak and hopeless and helpless. So, you know, it's like saying to a little toddler, you know, come and move this with me. He can't. It's just the point, he can't do it. And can I just give you a tip? If you come across something in the Bible you can't understand, there's 2 things you should do. Number 1 is go and ask Stuart. Seriously, go and ask him. Because he's your leader. There are other leaders in the church as well. Go to them. Just go and ask the leaders in the church, life group leaders, and say, I've read this in the Bible this week. What does it mean? Can you help me? And it might mean that they have to go away and think about it themselves, and Stuart has to go and ask his leader, or, you know, and goes all the way to the top. But go and ask somebody who's been a Christian longer than you. Go and ask the leaders in the church. Another thing to do is just pray over it. Just ask God, God, what are you trying to say to me here? If it's just something really complex or something like, you know, the statue of Nebuchadnezzar and you want to know what his big toe on his left foot means or something, yeah, forget stuff like that. But if there's a passage and you know God's trying to tell you something through it, just stay with it. Just keep on coming back to it. Keep on praying over it. Just keep on knocking and saying, God, what are you trying to say to me here? And then one day, I read that again. And it was like God put on the lights for me. This might of yours, when God said that in verse 14, what was the strength Gideon had at that moment? The strength he'd got was going back to verse 12 when God said, the Lord is with you. That's his strength. Gideon's power came from God's promise. That's basically all he'd got at that time, God's word to him, God's promise to him saying, the Lord is with you. Isaiah hadn't been written at that time, but where God says, I myself will help you, I will make you into something. It was the same voice of God thundering to him saying, I am with you. I am with you, brave and mighty warrior. And the promise that God made him was enough to sustain Gideon on the battlefield, to sustain him amongst the things and the struggles and the battles that were coming up ahead of his life. It was going to sustain him over the coming years. And for Gideon to step out and to start living life differently, to step out and to start being a different person, all he needed was God's promise to him. The Lord is with you. And he said, okay, God, you've said it. I'm going to stake my life on that, and I'm going to act like it's true and start living life differently. And God's looking for people this morning, people who are in churches like this, who will go out of the churches and get their bums off their seats and go out into the world on a Monday and act like God is with me. Because he is with us. Go and act like, as I step forward, God's with me, he's helping me, God's empowering me, he's giving me his promises, and God is with me. Isaiah 41 verse 10, where God says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's one of my favorite promises in the Bible. God says, do not fear. Okay, so we get fearful. We get scared about a whole bag of stuff. And if I named a few examples this morning, I'd probably leave out your one. But just think for a moment of the thing that starts to gnaw away at you. And God says to you this morning, do not fear. Why, God, what good, valid reason have you got to give me this morning to stop me being fearful? Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Don't go around with your head hung down in guilt and shame and despondency and frustration at life. Why? Because I am your God. God, the one who looks after us, the one who cares for us, the supreme being in of our lives. And he comes to us and he speaks to us and says, don't fear, don't be dismayed. I'm with you. I'm your God. There will be opposition for Gideon. There will be opposition for us. It's not a case of, well, hey, God's with me. It's going to be plain sailing from now on. No, God's with us for the battles. God's with us for the struggles. God's with us for the difficulties. But the fact is that God is with us. Gideon immediately turns it around and says, well, if God is with us, where are the miracles today? Our forefathers told us about you did this and you did that. And God says, I am with you. The God of yesterday, the God who did the miracles of the book of Exodus, the God who rescued his people in the book of Exodus, God's saying to Gideon, I'm with you right now. The God of the book of Acts, the compassionate Jesus from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's with us. The Jesus who wept over broken people, over hurting people, he's with us. The same Jesus. Jesus didn't hit the pause button when he went to heaven and says, okay, see you in a few thousand years. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever God has done in the past, whatever kind of God he's been in the past, he can be for each one of us today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. So he says, go in this might of yours. Gideon, I'm not calling you to muster up anything. I'm not calling you to psych anything up. I'm not telling you to have a feel-good factor about your life. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to work in your life. So we don't have to feel different. We don't have to get zapped. We don't have to wait until the hairs on the back of our neck stand on end. We just have to take God's promise and say, God, you're speaking to me. You're speaking to me through your words as real as if the angel of the Lord was standing right before me right now. Leave me. You'll never forsake me. He said, you'll save my people. You will save my people. That reminds me of the Gospels when he said you should call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, the Lord who saves. God wants us to get up and to start living with him, confident that he's with us, confident that he's for us. So in the week, we will encounter the saving power of Jesus, so that through us, other people will encounter the saving power of Jesus releasing them, of Jesus bringing them freedom from whatever binds them. Let's have a look at the next one. And the next one. And the next one. It led to action in his life. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? Go! You know, Gideon probably by now was thinking, yeah, God's with me. It's for me. But God says to him, go, go on, go. Go on, off you go. He doesn't know I'm talking about him. God said, go. I am sending you. God's saying to Gideon, Gideon, get up from your wine press. Get up from the place where you're feeling fearful. Get up from the place where you're feeling insecure and insufficient. Go, because I'm sending you out into that big bad world to live a different life that's empowered by my promises, that's empowered by my presence, that's got me with you in the world, and I'm calling you to live a life that's different. Go, I'm sending you. We read in Judges chapter 6, verse 34. Can we put it up on the screen? Just a bit later on. That when Gideon started to step out and do something, we read this. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. That God's Spirit came upon Gideon like a pair of overalls and clothed him and equipped him and empowered him to do what God had called him to do. And Jesus promises us exactly the same thing in our lives for the lives we have to live. Let's have a look at the next one, please, David. Jesus says in Luke 24, verse 49, behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Jesus says, in order to live effectively for him in this world, there's no ifs or buts, there's no trying to wrangle out of it. Jesus said, if you want to live a life for me, the only way you'll do it effectively is by being clothed with power from on high. Please, please, please don't go out into the big bad world naked. Don't go out unclothed. Don't go out in the noddy. Go out into the world clothed with power from on high. Because you can learn your Bibles, you can learn the verses, you can nod and say amen to the sermons. And the disciples did all of that kind of stuff. But Jesus said, you need power. You need to come to that place in your life where you know that you know that you know God has filled you, God is empowering you, God has clothed you with power from on high. And can I just ask each one of us this morning, those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, those of us who want to live for Jesus, in a time like Gideon where there's enemies trying to oppress us and who are going against the flow of God's kingdom, can I ask you this morning, is this your experience? Do you know what it is today? Not as a Boy Scout who's got the badges on the arm. Yeah, I was baptized in this year. I became a member of the church in this year. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not that kind of thing. But today, have you got your clothes on? Are you clothed with power from on high today? Because that's what Jesus wants. That's Jesus' purpose. That's his plan for each one of us to live lives that are effective out there. We need to be clothed with his power. God wants each one of us this morning not to live out of what we once were, not to live out of what we would like to be in our wildest hopes and dreams, but to live out according to who he's made us, what he's made us. You know, these past few months of unemployment, God's blessed us and done things for us that we wouldn't have been able to do when I was in full-time work. You know, the central heating broke down. And, you know, there was a government scheme. And we've got a brand new central heating boiler with several hundred pounds worth of wiring done as well. I wouldn't have been able to afford that last time I was standing here preaching. But we've had about £2,500 worth of work done courtesy of British Gas and the Welsh Assembly. God's done other things for us that are way beyond the resources of the Gibsons, but it's according to his ability. And you can basically make the choice this morning. You're just going to muddle through life on your own, hiding in the wine press and just coming out occasionally to get some more wheat and just getting along in life. Or you can hear God calling you this morning and saying, the Lord's with you. You're brave, you're mighty, you're a warrior, you're a new creation, you're the apple of my eye. I love you, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter, I'm for you. Oh yeah, great. And you just carry on hiding in your wine press. Or you can say, yes, this is your word to me, God. So because of what you've said, I'm going to start living differently. I'm going to start living according to what you've made me. And Gideon fought against his foes, the Midianites. Now, as far as I know, there are no Midianites in Bryn Mawr. There might be a few in Ebor Vale, but there's none in Bryn Mawr. There's no Midianites here today. Nobody, I can promise you, is going to have to face a marauding Midianite this week coming to steal your wheat and coming to steal a cow. That won't happen. But this week, we will have to battle the same kind of root issues that Gideon had to face. Fear, intimidation, anxiety, pressure to conform to those around you. Because you read about when Gideon started living for God, even some of his own family tried to oppress him and put him down. Who do you think you are? And there'll be peer pressure, young people. There'll be others, maybe ones who would call themselves Christians. Who do you think you are? You've suddenly gone all holy on us. You've suddenly started being different. But God wants you to be different. God wants to set you apart, to use you, for each one of us here this morning, whatever our age is. You might be struggling with the things Gideon struggled with, lack of worth, feeling insignificant in this world. But God still says to you, I am with you. He calls me something else. He calls me his child. God says to you this morning, you are precious to me. You're honored in my sight. And I love you. Then that's in Isaiah 43. That's the kind of thing God says to you this morning. So God says to you this morning, go. In a while, your bottom is going to leave contact with this chair and go out there. And God says, go, I'm sending you. Go in this might of yours, this promise of giving you, that I will be with you, that I myself will help you, I will make you into the person I've called you to be. I will be with you. I'm your God. I'm your helper. I'm your strengthener. Go in this might of yours. Go in the strength of his promise. Go and be clothed with the power of his Holy Spirit. Go from this place today confident that God is with you, and as you step forward and start to live that life he's called you to live, God will empower you, God will help you, God will clothe you, and God will help you every step of the way. We are going to face Midianites. We are going to face difficulties. But God comes to people like us. People who are hiding in the wine press. trying to just scrape by and get through this week with the resources we've got. And God steps down and says to each one of us this morning, the Lord is with you, mighty, brave warrior. Go! I'm sending you out into this world. Go and be clothed with my Spirit.